Elias, the recluse living among the settlers of Gilead, faced Ahab. Just as the eternal God of Israel, whom I serve, lives, there will be a severe drought in the country in the coming years. Not a drop of dew or a drop of rain will fall until I command it. The Eternal spoke to Elijah. Leave this place quickly. Head east and take shelter by the Kerith Brook, across the Jordan River. You will be able to drink fresh water from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed the voice of the Eternal. He settled near the Cherith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him food in the morning and evening, and he drank from the brook's water. After a while, the stream dried up because there was no rain, and the Eternal told Elijah, "Go to Zarephath in Sidon and stay there. I already instructed a woman living there to arrange food for you." He went to Sarepta and at the city's entrance, met a widow gathering wood. He asked, "Could you please bring me a pitcher of water? I'm thirsty." When she went to fetch the water, he said, "And also, please, bring me something to eat." She answered, "Just as the Eternal your God lives, I swear I have nothing to eat. I have a jar of flour and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering some twigs because I'm going to prepare something for my son and me to eat. After that, we can only die," Elias told her. "Do not worry. Do as you said. But first make a cake for me and bring it here. Next, make a meal with what's left for you and your son. The Eternal God of Israel says, the flour jar will not be empty, and the jar of oil will not run out until the Eternal sends rain upon the earth and ends this drought." She went out and did exactly as Elijah had asked. And it happened just as he said. Every day there was food for her and her son. The jar of flour did not run out, and the jug of oil did not dry up. The Eternal's promise was fulfilled exactly as Elijah had said. After some time, the widow's son became ill. The illness worsened, and at one point he stopped breathing. The woman told Elijah, "Why, man of God, did you come here to interfere in my life, expose my sin, and kill my son?" Elijah said, "Bring your son to me." He took the boy from her arms, took him to the room where he was staying, put the boy on the bed and prayed, "Oh, my Eternal God, why have you brought tragedy upon this widow who has taken me into her home? Why have you taken her son's life?" He laid him 3 times on the boy's body, always praying, "Oh, my Eternal God, give this boy back his breath." The Eternal heard Elijah's prayer, and the boy was resurrected. Elijah took the boy, carried him downstairs, and handed him to his mother. He said, "Here's your son, he's alive," the woman told Elijah. "Now I understand. The Lord is a man of God. When the Lord speaks, it is the Eternal speaking. It is the truth." After a long while, in the 3rd year of the drought, the word of the Eternal came to Elijah. "Report to Ahab. I will make it rain over the land." Elijah set out to meet with the king. At that time, the situation was already very serious in Samaria. Meanwhile, Ahab was talking to Obadiah, in charge of the palace, loyally to the Eternal. There was a time when Jezebel tried to exterminate the prophets of the Eternal. Obadiah gathered 100 prophets and hid them in 2 caves, 50 in each. and provided them with water and provisions. Ahab ordered Obadiah, travel the land searching in the springs and streams for some grass to feed our horses and mules. They divided the territory and started the search. Ahab went one way, and Obadiah another. Obadiah went down a path and ran into Elijah. Obadiah bowed down in reverence and exclaimed, "Is it really you, Elijah, my lord?" Elijah replied, "Yes, it's me. Go back and tell your master, I found Elijah." But Obadiah said, "What did I do to deserve this? Ahab will kill me. Just as the living eternal has not calmed the kingdom, where the king has not sent people looking for him. When they came back and said, 'We looked everywhere, but did not find him,' Akabe made that country or kingdom swear that you are not even there. Now you tell me, go tell your lord that Elias has been found. As soon as I leave, the spirit of the eternal will take you to I don't know where. You will disappear. My information will not be confirmed, and I will be killed. I have faithfully served the Eternal since I was a boy. Didn't anyone tell you what I did when Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Eternal? How did I risk my life by hiding 100 prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and providing water and food for them? Now you want me to expose myself, saying to King Elias has been found. He will certainly kill me," Elias said. "Just as the Lord of hosts of angels whom I serve lives, today I will present myself to King Ahab." So Obadiah immediately went to tell the king the news. Ahab went to meet Elijah. As soon as he saw Elijah, Ahab exclaimed, "Is it you, troubler of Israel?" Elijah replied, "It wasn't me who brought this calamity upon Israel. It was you and your government. You have abandoned the ways of the Eternal and his commandments to follow the Baals. Gather all of Israel at Mount Carmel. Do not let Jezebel's protected ones be missing, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of the goddess of prostitution, Azeroth." Ahab called all the people of Israel, especially the prophets, to gather at Mount Carmel. Elijah challenged the people, "How long will you stay on the fence? If the Eternal is the true God, follow the Eternal. But if it's Baal, follow Baal. Make up your minds." No one answered anything. The people did not even move. Elijah said, "I am the only prophet of the Eternal left in Israel, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Let the prophets of Baal bring 2 bulls. Kill one and arrange the meat on the altar with wood, but do not light the fire. I'll prepare the other bull and arrange it on the wood, but I will not light the fire. Then you call on your gods, and I will call on the Eternal, the God who answers with fire." "It is indeed God," everyone agreed. "Good idea, let's do that. Choose the bull and prepare it. You go first, since you are the majority. Call upon your God, but do not light the fire." They took a lamb, prepared the animal for the sacrifice, and cried out to Baal. They cried out all morning, "O Baal, answer us," but nothing happened. No sign of response. Desperate, they jumped and danced around the altar. At noon, Elijah started mocking them. "Shout louder. After all, he is God. Maybe he is meditating somewhere or busy with some work. You see, they might be traveling. You don't think he's sleeping and missed the time, do you? In this case, he'll need to be woken up." They started to shout even louder and cut themselves with blades and knives. a common ritual among them, until their whole body is covered in blood. They kept at it until the afternoon. They performed all the rituals and tricks they knew until the afternoon sacrifice time, but nothing happened. No sign of response. Finally, Elijah said to the people, "Enough. Now it's my turn coming here." They gathered around him. He rebuilt the altar that was already destroyed. He chose 12 stones, one for each tribe of Jacob, the same Jacob to whom the Eternal had said, "From now on you will be called Israel." Elijah made an altar with the 12 stones in honor of the Eternal. Then he dug a wide ditch around the altar, placed the wood on it, prepared a young bull, and arranged the meat on the wood. Then he gave the order, "Fill the buckets with water and pour it over the ox and the wood." He ordered again, "Do it again." They did, he said again. "Do it one more time." And they did. The altar was soaked and the ditch was full of water. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah approached the altar and prayed, "O Eternal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I do these things by your command. Answer me, O Eternal. Answer me and show this people that, and you, O Eternal, are giving them a chance to repent." Right then the fire of the Eternal fell and burned the offering, along with everyone, the rocks, the earth, and even the water in the ditch. The people saw what happened, and all bowed down in wonder and exclaimed, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." Elijah said, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let none escape." The people captured them, and Elijah sent them to the Kishon stream, where they were killed. Elijah said it to Cabe, "Get up, eat and drink. It's time to celebrate. The rain won't take long. I can already hear its noise." He finished and got up, ate and drank. Meanwhile, Elias went up to the top of Carmel, knelt down to pray with his face between his knees, and said to his helper, "Stand up. Look towards the sea." He looked and told Elias, "I don't see anything," Elijah said. "Keep looking. If necessary, look 7 times. On the 7th time, he said, "I see a cloud rising from the sea. It is very small, the size of a person's hand," Elijah ordered. "Run and tell Ahab, saddle a donkey and descend the mountain before the rain catches you." Everything happened so fast. The sky darkened and the wind blew the clouds until it started to rain heavily. Meanwhile, Ahab set off by chariot for Jezreel. The Eternal gave extraordinary strength to Elijah, who tied up his cloak, belt, and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot until reaching Israel. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. "The gods will punish you for this. They will avenge me. I swear by this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as those prophets." When Elias realized the situation, he fled to Beersheba in the far south of Judah. He left his assistant there and walked another day in the desert. He reached a juniper tree, sat down under its shade, and asked to die. "Enough, the Eternal. Take my life. I am ready to go down to the grave with my ancestors. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the juniper. Suddenly, an angel woke him and said, "Get up and eat." Looking around to his surprise, he found near his head a loaf of bread baked on coals and a jar of water. He ate and went back to sleep. The angel of the Eternal returned, woke him, and said, "Get up and eat a bit more. You have a long journey ahead." He got up, ate, drank, and left. Sustained by food, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Arriving there, he entered a cave and slept. The word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elisha?" he answered. "I have dedicated my life entirely to the Lord of the hosts of angels. The people of Israel broke their covenant, destroyed places of worship, and killed their prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they want to take my life too." The Eternal said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Eternal. The Eternal will pass by you." A very strong wind swept over the mountain, breaking and shattering the rocks before the Eternal. But the Eternal was not in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake, but the Eternal was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came the fire, but the Eternal was not in the fire. Finally, after the fire, a gentle breeze began to blow. When Elijah felt the breeze, he covered his head with his cloak, went to the cave entrance, and waited there. A soft voice asked, "So Elijah, tell me again, what are you doing here?" Elijah repeated, "I have devoted my entire life to the service of the Eternal Lord of the hosts of angels, because the people of Israel abandoned their covenant, destroyed places of worship, and killed their prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to take my life too." The Eternal said, "Go back the way you came, through the desert to Damascus. Upon arrival, you must anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Then, it will be the turn of a Girgashite son of Nimshi, king of Israel. In the end, you must anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Whoever escapes from Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes from Jehu, Eliseu will kill. Meanwhile, I will preserve 7,000 people who have not bowed to the god Baal, lips that have not kissed his image." Elijah found Elisha, son of Shaphat, in a field where 12 yoke of oxen were plowing. Elisha was leading one of them. Elijah approached and placed his cloak over Elisha. Eliseu left the oxen and started walking with Elias, but suddenly asked, "Please let me say goodbye to my father and my mother. Then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go, but do not forget what I have just done to you." Elisha returned and slaughtered the two oxen, using the plow for firewood. He cooked the meat and threw a farewell party. Then he went with Elijah, becoming his assistant. After that, it happened that Naboth from Jezreel owned a vineyard next to Ahab's palace, the king of Samaria. One day, the head asked for Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so I can turn it into a garden, since it's next to my palace. I will exchange it for a much better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay in cash." But Naboth replied to Ahab, "The Eternal spare me from selling the land, which is the family inheritance." Ahab went home sullen because of Naboth's answer. "I will never surrender the family's inheritance to the master. He went to bed and refused to eat. Your wife Jezebel asked, "What's happening? Why are you like this, not wanting to eat?" he said. "I spoke with Naboth of Jezreel and asked him, 'Give me your vineyard. I will pay for it or exchange it for another vineyard.' But he told me, 'I will never surrender my vineyard to the Lord.'" Jezebel said, "And should the king of Israel worry about this? Aren't you the one in charge here? Get up, eat and cheer up. I will take care of it. I will get Naboth's vineyard for you." She wrote letters to all the authorities and city leaders of Naboth, signed it for the king, and put the official seal in the letter she wrote. "Call for a day of fasting and place Naboth in a prominent place. Place two ill-natured individuals by your side to accuse you. You have blasphemed against God and the king. Then they will take him out of the city and stone him to death." That's what they did. The city's most influential men followed Jezebel's instructions, as written in the letter. They called for a day of fasting and put Naboth in a place of honor. In front of everyone, the two men accused him. He cursed God and the king. His peers took him outside and stoned him brutally. When Jezebel learned that Naboth had been stoned to death, she told Ahab, "Take possession of Naboth's vineyard in Jezreel, the vineyard he denied you. Naboth is dead." When she heard that Naboth had died, she went out to take possession of the vineyard. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Get up and go to the capital of Samaria, king of Israel. You will find him at Naboth's vineyard. He's there to take possession of the property. Tell him, 'Thus says the Eternal, what is happening here? First murder, then theft.' Then tell him, 'Thus says the Eternal, in the same place where the dogs licked Naboth's blood, they will lick yours as well.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "You found me, my enemy," Elijah replied. "Indeed, I found you. And since you sold yourself to commit this error against the Eternal," he says, "I will destroy you and annihilate their descendants, killing all who are male and have any relation to the name of Ahab. I will do to you what I did to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and to Baasha, son of Ahijah. You have provoked my anger by leading Israel into sin. As for Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. All belonging to Ahab's family who die in the city will be devoured by dogs, and those who die in the field will be devoured by the ravens." Ahab, influenced by his wife Jezebel, committed all kinds of sin against the Eternal. He was much worse than his predecessors, indulged in wicked acts before idols, like the Amorites whom the Lord had driven out from the land of Israel. When it was over, he heard the words of Elijah. He tore his own clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He even slept in sackcloth and walked with his head down. Then the Eternal spoke to Elijah the Tishbite, "Note that Kabe caught my word and humbled himself before me. Because of his repentance, I will not cause disaster during Ahab's lifetime, but during his son's reign. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. One day, Cassius fell from the balcony of his room in Samaria and was severely injured. So he sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, god of Ekron. 'Will I recover from this accident?' Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, 'Get up, go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and tell them, "Is there no god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? If this is what the Eternal says, you will not leave this bed. You will lie there as if dead." Elijah delivered the message and left. The messengers returned and the king asked, "Why did you come back so quickly? What happened?" They replied, "We met a man who told us, 'Return to the king who sent you and tell him, thus says the Eternal, is there no god in Israel that you go to consult Baal, Zebul, and the god of Ekron? So don't worry, you won't leave this bed. You're a dead man.'" The king inquired, "Tell me more about this man you met." "What did he look like?" they asked. "He wore fur clothes and a leather belt." The king spoke, "It must be Elijah the Tishbite. The king sent a captain with 50 men to fetch Elijah, who was sitting calmly on a hill. The captain arrived and said, 'Man of God, by the king's order, come down.' Elijah replied to the captain, 'If I am indeed the man of God, let lightning strike you and your 50 soldiers.' Suddenly, lightning came out of nowhere and consumed the captain and the 50 soldiers. The king sent another captain with 50 soldiers. They said the same, 'Man of God, by the king's order, come down from there.' Elijah replied, 'If I am truly the man of God, let the lightning strike upon you and your 50 soldiers.' Instantly, lightning fell from the sky and consumed the captain and his soldiers. The king sent a third captain with 50 soldiers. For the third time, a captain and 50 soldiers approached Elijah. The captain knelt and pleaded, 'Man of God, please have regard for my life and the lives of these 50 soldiers. Twice now, lightning has struck and destroyed a captain and his 50 soldiers. Please have mercy.' The angel of the Lord spoke to Elijah, 'Don't be afraid. Go down with him.' Elijah stood up, went down, and escorted him to the king. Elias said to the king, 'Thus says the Eternal, why did you seek guidance from Baal, Zebul, and the god of Ekron, as if there were no god in Israel? You won't leave this bed alive. You're a dead man.' And he died, exactly as the Eternal declared through Elijah. As Achasias had no children, his brother Joram succeeded him to the throne in the second year of Joram's reign, king of Judah, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of Achaziah's life is recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Israel." Shortly before the Eternal took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah, they, and I set out on a walk from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Eternal has sent me to deal with a matter in Bethel." Elijah said, "Just as the Eternal lives, I won't lose sight of you." And the two went to Bethel. In Bethel, the disciples of the prophet saw Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Eternal will take your master away from you?" He replied, "Yes, I know, but I don't want to talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Eternal has sent me to attend to a matter in Jericho." Elisha answered, "Just like the Eternal Living One, I won't lose sight of you." And the two went to Jericho. In Jericho, the prophet's disciples told Elisha, "Do you know that today the Eternal will take your master away from you?" He replied, "Yes, I know, but I don't want to talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Eternal sent me to deal with a matter on the Jordan." Elisha answered, "Just as the living God, I won't lose sight of you." And the two went on together. 50 disciples of the prophets watched from a distance as the two stood by the bank of the Jordan River. Elijah took his cloak, wrapped it, and struck the water. The river split, and they crossed on dry ground. When they arrived at the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken away? Ask anything you want." I told them, "I want your life mirrored in mine. I want to be a man of God just like you," Elijah said. "It's a tough request. But if you see when I'm taken away, you'll get what you asked for. But keep watching." That's what happened. They were walking and chatting. Suddenly, a chariot of fire with horses also of fire stood between them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha heard the whole scene and exclaimed, "My father, my father, you were like the chariots and horsemen of Israel. When there was nothing left to see, he tore his cloak into pieces. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen, went back to the Jordan's edge, and stood there, holding Elijah's cloak, the only thing left of him. He struck the water and said, 'Where is now the eternal God of Elijah?' When the cloak touched the water, the river parted, and Elisha crossed it." The disciples of the prophets of Jericho also saw this scene from a certain distance and commented, "Elijah's spirit is in Elisha." Therefore, they welcomed him and respected him as a prophet. They said to Elisha, "We're at your service. We have 50 trustworthy men and can send them to search for your master. Perhaps the eternal spirit has taken him to a mountain or left him in some remote valley." Elisha said, "Don't worry about that." But they insisted so much that he finally agreed. "All right, you can send them." They sent 50 men who spent 3 days searching for the prophet everywhere, through the mountains and valleys, but no sign of him. Finally, they returned to Jericho, where Elisha was. He said, "Didn't I tell you? Now you believe." One day the city leader spoke to Elisha. "Master, you can see for yourself how well situated our city is. But the water is polluted, so the vegetation doesn't grow." He said, "Bring me a new bucket with some salt in it." They brought the bucket. He went up to the spring, threw the salt in there, and made a prophecy. "Thus says the Eternal, I have purified this water. It will no longer kill you or contaminate the land." Indeed, the water was purified and remains clean to this day, as Elisha said. On another occasion, Elisha was on his way to Bethel, and some boys came out of the city and started to mock him. "Hey, you baldy, get out of here." Elisha turned and looked at them and cursed them in the name of the Eternal. Two bears came out of the woods and attacked them. 42 boys were torn apart. Elisha went up to Mount Carmel and then returned to Samaria.